So Chris and Katie Achter are Northwood Church members currently living in Singapore in East Asia, where Chris is the vice principal at the ACS International School there. Chris, Katie, and their daughter Kayla were here at Northwood just this past Sunday, though, because Chris has come home for a short time. So here's a recent photo that we have of Chris, of Katie, and then we can see a next one, which is of Chris and Katie and their daughter, along with Chris's parents, Chuck and Brenda. So this past Wednesday was a huge day for Katie Achter, a huge day, a life-changing day, a day that she will remember the rest of her life along with her husband, Chris. So what happened this last Wednesday for Katie Achter? Well, Katie is an Egyptian national that Chris met when he was teaching in Cairo, Egypt. And this last Wednesday, Katie became a U.S. citizen at a ceremony down in Des Moines, Iowa. Katie completed the lengthy 10-step citizenship process and became a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. Now, some of us that are here today know what that's like. Some of us here today are naturalized citizens. We've been through that process. You know what it's like to fill out all those forms, to do personal interviews, to pass tests about U.S. history and about our government, to pass English proficiency test in terms of your speech and language. You've met with the resident. You have met the residency requirements for how long you've been in this country. You've met the requirement to be a person of good moral character. You've also demonstrated an attachment to the principles and ideals of the U.S. Constitution. So if you're a naturalized citizen, actually, it's quite hard and it's quite lengthy to become a citizen of this country if you're not born here. Here's what Katie said to me in an email Wednesday night about her new citizenship after she took her oath of allegiance to the United States of America. She said, "It has been a special day for me today. I get to reunite with my family. We believe in one God, and today I got to join one nation and culture with them. Becoming an American has given me many opportunities and privileges to live like one. My vote matters, my opinion matters, and I can speak up with no fear. I can walk down the street wearing my cross necklace and remain an equal person, and no one is looking down at me or less. It is important for me to become a citizen to make sure I stay in this country with my family to provide a better future for myself and my daughter. There are great opportunities for my daughter that America can provide for her. Nothing is in her way to accomplish anything that she wants and can do." Aren't those beautiful words? Inspiring words? I think they are. They are words that are full of hope and dreams and a heart of gratitude for our nation. So why talk about Katie Achter's new citizenship on Sunday morning here with us? Well, it's because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, the passage months ago set aside for today and our journey through the book of Ephesians, it's all about citizenship. It's all about Paul talking about how we are invited into the most important citizenship of all, not the citizenship of a nation, but a citizenship in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, which is the greatest place to be a citizen. And not only that, Paul says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, that not just are we citizens of heaven, but also we're invited into the family of God. Then we believe in Jesus Christ, we have a family, we're adopted into the family of God. And not only that, Paul says, we also, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we are now part of a holy temple for the Lord, that actually God by his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So friends, in these four verses we're looking at today, God gives to us three pictures of who we are as believers in Jesus Christ, but as well also, what is the church about? Who is the church? What is the church like? And so this morning, let's read these verses from Ephesians chapter 2 and then learn what this means for you and for me in our lives today. So beginning at verse 19 of chapter 2 in Ephesians, this is what Paul writes. "So now you Gentiles," let me pause right here just to remind everybody to make sure when the Bible uses the word Gentiles, or Paul used it here, what he means is now you non-Jews. So Paul was a Jewish man writing to non-Jewish people. So he wanted to make sure people knew who he was writing to. So he makes that real clear. "So now you Gentiles, you non-Jewish people, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, through Jesus, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." So let's take a moment, a few minutes here, and let's talk about these three pictures that Paul gives to us about what it means to be part of the family of God, to be a believer in Jesus Christ because of who he is, what he gives to us. And the first picture, again, of these three pictures that Paul gives to us is that we are citizens, citizens of God's kingdom, citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Now, to fully grasp and understand what this means, we need to sort of back up a couple of verses in Ephesians 2 to see what Paul says about what it was like not to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, all right? So let's back up and look at verse 11 through 13, see what Paul writes there. And as I read these verses, I want you to pay special attention to the words, and not just hear the words and think about the words. I want you to hear the words and feel the words, because these words are packed full of emotion of what Paul says. And when you read them and really consider what they say, you know, I find them really emotionally moving in terms of what Paul says. So listen, read, but also feel what Paul says here in Ephesians 2. Verse 11, don't forget that you Gentiles, you non-Jews, used to be outsiders. Did you hear that? You used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. You were proud of, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So what emotions kind of stirred in your heart when you heard these words being read? So for me, these are words which sort of stand out in a negative sort of way. The words like foreigners and strangers and outsiders, excluded from citizenship, without God, without hope, and hope, and you're far away from God. All these words to me say the same thing, the same thing. They say, you're not welcome and you're not wanted. There's no place for you here because you're not like us. That's negative. And I think we've all been in experiences somewhere in our life where we have felt those words, felt not wanted, not welcome, not seen. We've been an excluded. We've been an outsider, either because of the color of our skin, because of our ethnicity, because of our age, because of our gender. Somewhere along the way, we've all felt the sting of what it means to be an outsider. I have, occasionally in my life, been an outsider in groups I wanted to be included in. And when you're not included in a group that you want to be in, you know what it does to you? You sort of start asking yourself the question, why don't these people like me? What's wrong with me? Why am I not being included? And that's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible place to be. But the good news of Jesus Christ, friends, the good news that we see here in Ephesians 2 and what Paul writes here is that through Jesus Christ, we are accepted. We are wanted. We are included and invited, that God sees us. We are no longer a stranger or a foreigner or an outsider. We are now a citizen. We have status. We have, and here is the important word to understand this one, we have place. We have place, which is a huge need that we all have in life, to have place. That is exactly what Katie Otter says in her citizenship, sort of what she had to say. She now feels like she has a place in this country. She has a place in our nation. She says, I am an American. I have place. She's no longer an outsider. Now, our need for place shows itself in sometimes places we don't even understand. We just sort of breeze right through it. Don't pay attention to it. When you fill out a form about yourself, what do you typically fill out? Your name and then what? Your address. Where is it that you live? That's your place. That's your place. When you meet somebody new, what do you typically ask them? Well, tell me your name. And where do you live? That's your place. And sometimes you go to the next question. So what do you do? Where do you work? That is your place. Those are all things which give us meaning in life and give us a place of feeling good about ourselves and that we have some contribution to make. If you don't feel like place is important, one of the most important needs of life, then ask a homeless person. Ask them, so where do you live? And they'll say, well, I don't have a place. Or ask a refugee. Tom Albinson has a whole talk on the importance of place and how having place gives us roots and stability and fills us with hope and strength. And by the way, when the Bible talks about Jesus, how does the Bible talk about Jesus in the New Testament? It says, of course, his name, Jesus Christ, but also Jesus what? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus had place. The Bible even refers to that to help us understand the importance of place. So friends, Jesus Christ, he gives us place. He makes us citizens of the kingdom of God and of heaven, which means that we matter, we are loved, we are wanted, we have value, that our lives have meaning, we have both a present and we have a future. Let me go back to Katie Otter for one more minute here. Here's something else that she said about her citizenship. The biggest blessing is that my family doesn't put all their hope in a man-made citizenship rather than citizenship in God's kingdom, which is a gift for everyone. Which I so love her perspective on this. So yes, it's important to be a citizen of this country, but she says it's even more important to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And here's the great thing about that. You can never be denied citizenship in the kingdom of heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, when you go through the citizenship process in America, they can turn you down. They can say, you don't qualify. You're not wanted. We don't want you. You don't meet the criteria. But not with God. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we turn our lives over to him, we become citizens of his kingdom, and he always accepts us. He never rejects us if we trust in Jesus Christ. That is so wonderful to be able to say and to feel and to experience. We have place because of Jesus Christ, of believing in him. That's what Paul's saying here in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's the second thing he's saying to us, and that is that we are also part of the family of God. Again, comes from verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Members of God's family. So all of us here are part of at least one family. We have an earthly family. Whether we were born into that family, whether we were adopted in that family, we all come from a family, right? So we know that also that the healthier that family is, the better off that we're going to be as well, because we need that family to nurture us and care for us and help us become what God wants us to become. We need a healthy family in our earthly family. But God also has given to us a spiritual family. And what's that spiritual family? Spiritual family is the church. It's Northwood Church, and it's God's people spread out all over the world. And we believe in Jesus Christ, so we become part of God's worldwide and eternal family, and it is a wonderful experience. You know, when we think about family, one of the things that's important to recognize is we need a family that where we are loved and accepted, a family that is safe and secure, where we are cheered for, where we are nurtured and taught truth, we're confronted when it's necessary, and we're forgiven when we ask. And that describes both, I think, a healthy earthly family, but really that really describes a healthy spiritual family. Those are things which are important for every one of us in a spiritual family to experience. That's why God gave us the church as a family. That's why the Bible talks about the church as being a family. And that's what we want Northwood Church to be. A place where people are loved and people are cared for. People are accepted. People are cheered for. A place where people are also lovingly confronted when that's necessary as well. A place where people are always given the message of forgiveness from God and forgiveness from within. Ourselves. That's what we want to be, the kind of family that we aspire to be. We aspire to be. Two quick stories about that. One was last Sunday, perhaps you were here. Last Sunday, we had a chance to celebrate as a family a wonderful gift that came to us because of Pastor Gutierrez and Apolline, and that is the wedding of Sibomana John and his beautiful wife, Gloria. If you were here, it was kind of like a goosebump moment, I think, for us as a spiritual family. It was a great celebration. In the first service this morning, back here in the third row where the Dishingers are sitting, there was the Abizahu family. For last year, Nicole Abizahu, Carol's mother and Elias's mother, has been with us for this past year. Tomorrow she goes back to her native Benin to be back with her husband, with her family there. She was planning to go back in July, but she had a heart attack shortly before she was scheduled to leave. And honestly, I think God allowed that to happen so that she could have the surgery here that would take care of her heart, because it wouldn't have happened there. She wouldn't have survived had she gone back home. So we had a chance just to stand and pray for her and extend hospitality and love towards her, because she's been part of our family for this past year. And now she's going home to her earthly family. That's evidence of what a spiritual family is to do, to love and to care for, to pray for each other, support each other, every place in life, through every journey in life. That's what it means to be part of the family of God. And that's because of Jesus Christ. We are invited into that, into the family of God. But Paul gives us now a third picture, a final picture in these verses to pay attention to, and that we see in verse 21. And as I read this, I want you to pay attention to the pronouns. The first one we talked about, pay attention to the emotion of the words. Now pay attention to the pronouns that Paul uses. Here's what Paul writes in verse 20 of chapter 2. Together, what's the next word? We. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and their cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So what is Paul telling us there? It says, we believe in Jesus Christ, we now become the temple of God. The temple of God. So what's important to understand about this is really sort of set in the historical context of when Paul wrote this. So when the people first received this, they were living in Ephesus. Now, we don't know anything about Ephesus, really, those of us that are here, in terms of what that city was like. But that city was the home to one of the ancient wonders, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. There was what's called the Temple of Diana, or the Temple of Artemis. It was a temple that was built there that lasted for 1,000 years. It was made of stone and the pillars. It was an amazing structure. 1,000 years that temple had been. So in that community, when you say the word temple, they thought about going to the Temple of Artemis, which they had the belief that that is where their goddess dwelled. So that's where they would go then to do their religious rites to worship Artemis. And Paul is writing to them to say something different about the temple of God. He said that you are the temple of God. You understand the distinction, the difference here? The temple is not a place that's built with human hands. The temple is not made of stone and brick and wood and anything else. The temple is made of God's people. God's people are the temple of God. That's the point that Paul is making when he says here, you're part of the temple of God. You are the temple of God, which is a great reminder to us, friends, of a couple of really important spiritual truths. The first of which is that God does not dwell in buildings, but God dwells in people. He dwells in us as we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, it's also important, though, for churches to have places. We're a church that is seeking for that to happen. We know the importance of place because churches need place as well, and those are physical structures. So we believe in that, but we also need to understand that ultimately the church is not a building. The church is her people. And we are a great example of that, actually, when you stop and you think about it. For 20 years, we've been doing great ministry and helping transform lives here in places like Cocoon and other spots because we believe in that, and we've lived that. We've experienced that as well. God does not dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. But also this passage tells us that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. In those days, whenever you built a home, you built any of the physical structure, the most important stone in the building was the cornerstone. Everything extended from the cornerstone, everything in every direction. It bore the weight of the building. And what Paul is saying here is that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The church is built on Jesus Christ. He's the most important stone. It's on him that we build our life and we have our faith. And that's important for us to understand. And then also what Paul says here is that the temple continues to grow. In fact, this is something which is really interesting about what Paul writes here, and I think important for us to understand, that the temple continues to grow. It continues to grow. How's the temple growing? The temple's growing because God is adding to the temple more and more people all around the world. Here in Minnesota and here in places all around the world, more and more people are being added to the temple because God is building his church, adding to his church the lives of people who trust in Jesus Christ, his son. So friends, that's what Paul tells us that we are, that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are citizens of heaven, we are part of the family of God, we are part of the temple of God, we are the temple of God. Let me just pause right here, though, and say, you know, if you've never made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ yourself, then you're not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're not the temple of God. You're not in the family of God. And today would be a great day for you to become part of the family of God, become a citizen of heaven. Now, how can that happen? That can happen if you simply surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to believe in him, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord and to be your ruler, to forgive you of your sin and to be the Lord of your life. And when you do that, then you become a citizen. No interviews, no tests, no years of residency you have to demonstrate. Simply faith in Jesus Christ is what makes you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and part of the family of God. And if you've never done that, today's the invitation for you to do that. Don't pass by that invitation. It's God's invitation for you. For the rest of us who have made that decision years ago or weeks ago or months ago, here's what I think all this means for you and for me. It means this. It means that you are loved by God. You are loved by God more than you know. He will never stop loving you. And I can't say it enough. God loves you. You're a citizen of his kingdom. You're part of his family. You're the temple by which his Holy Spirit dwells in. You have a place also in God's family is what this says. You're invited, you're wanted, you're desired, you're included. You're not excluded, but you are included in the family of God. And finally, you are the dwelling of God. God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He lives in you. God lives in you. In you. And that is all because God became a baby at Christmas. All because Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven and came to earth. And so this Advent season, as we move through it, may we all bow our hearts and bend our knees to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler, our friend, who made this all possible for us to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, to be part of the family of God, to be a temple where God's Spirit dwells. Amen. So, oh God, thank you for these good words from Paul to remind us of who we are because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving the glory and the splendor and the comfort of heaven, of entering our world and being born as a little baby and growing up to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. And as we enter into the rest of this Christmas season, may you, Jesus, be the focus of our hearts and the attention of our minds. May we worship you and be grateful for all you have given to us, including making us citizens of the kingdom of heaven, bringing us into the family of God, and making us into a temple, a dwelling for the Spirit of God, I pray. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name.